The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy and Pete. You all right, lads?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, Paddy's here. Paddy's been back from the Ukraine. How's it going over there, Pad?
It's actually all right. Lovely people.
Yeah, they are nice people. Yeah, apparently. Yeah, that's the way it goes. Yeah. So Paddy's written a sort of a list, a running order. So 0 to 3 minutes, Justin's rant. 3 to 10, Sal. 10 to 20, the Queen. 20 to 30, Tory session. And we've got 5 minutes for TV recommendations. All right. Okay, so let's start off then. It's not really a rant. All I just want to say is, unusually...
It's always a rant.
No. It's always a rant. What I can do now, normally we just faff around a bit and say, oh, where's Steve? Steve, been a drunk boy. Yeah, I don't know where Steve was last night. He took pictures of something. Where was he? The Albert Hall.
He was in the Albert Hall by the looks, yeah.
And I saw another guy...
And then
guy.
You went to see some dinosaurs as well, I think, at the Natural History Museum.
That's a very odd combination, isn't it? Going partying at the Albert Hall, then going to the Natural History Museum. You think that'd be the other?
I think it was the other way round.
Oh, I think it was.
I think it was the other way round.
Yes, I was going to say that makes sense. Yeah. You wouldn't go drunk to the let's go to the National History Museum. Really off your face. dinosaur.
It is Steve we're talking about. Anything is possible.
I think they do that as well. They have robes there.
Do they? Imagine getting thrown out at the Natural History Museum for being drunk and disorderly.
Everything's dead in there anyway, so it's not any damage.
Bring a bit of life to it. So, unusually, I just want to get straight into stocks and shares, right? Boys, right at the start. Just get right in there. I know we faff around a bit at the start, but all I want to say is right now, right? If you want to make money, do you want to make money?
Well, I've been trying to for the last 5 years. It's not happened so far.
You know, real money, real money. I'm not talking dirty trading money for a couple of hundred quid or maybe even a couple of grand here and there, which you see a lot of people on Twitter do. Oh, I'm in this one. Oh, it's gone up by 30, 40, 50%. Whoa! Then you need a couple of hundred quid. I'm not in it for that. I'm talking about decent amounts of money, almost life-changing money, right? Now, you can do that off the back of a bear market. It's one of the best times to make money. After a crash... You can make the most money, right? And it doesn't matter. Don't worry if the market stays lower for longer, because that's bigger opportunities. You could pick up companies at bargain-based price. And I'm talking about way below where they should be valued, let alone pricing in. In a bull market, everything is priced into the future. You know, the potential of a company. And in fact, someone said, the reason why bull markets happen is because, you know, all companies are doing well, and then, you know, a company's valuation is priced on, like, 5 years down the line, and they exceed expectations, so then almost it's priced in 10 years down the line. So it's crazy. Right now, most companies got nothing priced into them, in that they're below the actual... value today. So the bounce you have and the recovery for the bear market is immense. Now, how you do that is you have to scale in. You really have to scale into a company. You believe it's one company that you think is going to do very well over the next 5-10 years, and you've got to try and bring the average down as close to the bottom as possible. Keep buying. I don't care where you get the money from. I don't care where you get the money from, right? To the back of a sofa, doing odd jobs around the street, polishing shoes, you know, busking Bronski Beat songs in Covent Garden, anything. Anywhere you can get money from, you've got to get some money and get your average down in just one stock that you believe, you know, it's growing, it's improving, it's got plenty of cash, it's going to be profitable, and yet it's undervalued. Make sure it's got cash, because you don't want to, you know, having to raise, in this environment, you don't want a company having to raise money, because that's a nightmare. It'll be a big discount, and it'll wipe you out. But you've got to get your average down in a company you believe will do well, and you will do very well over the next, say, 3 to 5 years. Honestly, and we're not far away from the bottom, I don't believe. I believe we're not far. And look at the stats on bear markets. We're not that far away. I know it's hard to believe, because a lot of doom and gloom about. There's a lot of real world economy gloom about. The stock market is not the real economy. It's way ahead of it. We've been pricing this in now for like a year on AIM. It's, you know, if you go through the indices, it's nuts. Just looking at the indices, right?
Yeah.
And the AIM All Share down over 30%. The AIM 100 down over 30%. NASDAQ down over 30%. S&P actually touched bear market territory this week, 20% down and jumped back out of it. What else? So major indices are in bear markets. And if you look at the stats, let me just bring up the stats on the NASDAQ. So that's the biggest of of the markets there, that we always follow the American markets. The old saying is, you know, America sneezes, mm-hmm. we all catch a cold. But by the way, if you had to earn extra money somewhere, how would you do it? What would be your sort of your busk of choice kind of thing?
I would love to sell my body, but I don't think I don't think anyone would want it.
Well, try it, man.
Yeah.
Try it.
I don't see the downsides in that.
Well, no, I guess which social network are you most engaged with? You know, just put a post out there. Say, listen, I'm looking for a bit of extra cash. Check it, because Paddy just now come on. He does this every week or when we're on. He finds it quite funny. We just come on in audio, and Paddy comes on in video, and he's topless. He just sits there topless at his window, and I imagine him naked there in a state of excitement. But I don't know why, because his eyes have a sparkle in them. And and just post that picture, Pad. Say, I'm after a cash. Any ladies, fellas, anyone. Fancy renting a bit of this?
Want this? Yeah.
Renting this a bit of merchandise.
What sort of money? What sort of money are we talking there, Pat?
I don't know. Is this for you?
You're going to be opening your offers. Yeah. You've got Pete. Yes. Listen, we've got an audience of three, Pad. One person's already interested. That there doing a market survey. That's a third. Well, half the audience actually.
No, it's half the audience.
50%. That's a hit rate. That's a massive hit rate. I'd get it out there. So yeah. So Pad an inquiry. I like the way Paddy there turned into a sales pitch straight away. Why are you interested? What kind of money are we talking here?
Yeah.
Did you see the guy this week on Twitter who had the duck in the car with him and broke into his mum's house and then threw a big bag of cash at his sister and said, there you go, that's your student loans paid off?
No.
Why did you not see that?
What's a duck got to do with it?
Well, yeah, exactly. So he sat in this car with a duck. He's got a pet duck. And he looks like he's some sort of like sort of trailer trash sort of character, very very sort of Jersey Shore.
Right.
And he makes it, well, the backstory to this thing is that he makes all of his money from OnlyFans, I think. Basically showing off his bits, and
he's got a duck with him. What the heck is he doing?
Duck?
They've dropped their. I thought OnlyFans were tightening their rules, but literally they're relaxing them. Him and a duck and OnlyFans, and he makes lots of money. Right. If there's an audience for that, there's an audience for you. Have you got some kind of quirky, act you can do, Pan, involving something else or what?
I've got any ducks. I've got three cats that try and get into my house, but that's not particularly.
I got an idea, Pad. You know your heated blanket, right?
Right.
You put that on around you. I said, right, ladies and gentlemen, I've put the heated blanket on. It's warming up. Sooner or later, I'll get too hot for the blanket, and then I'll step out of it. Have a guess what's going below it. Yes. And, you know, people say, right, the heated blanket's on number three. Shall I turn the heat up a little bit? Shall I turn that heat up?
Vote now.
Yeah. Vote now to turn the heat
this
up to four.
Very cost of living porn.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, listen, and that's the way into the bids, because you know that I bought Megan a heated blanket, of course, same as yours, after you recommended
it. Oh, really? She enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah, she had it last night. She just couldn't wait for her birthday. And she said, why are you buying me a heated blanket coming into summer? I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's still useful though, isn't it? Yeah, just take the edge off.
Yeah, not got many ideas for your birthday, so that's that's all I can think of. So she's there, and it's got a dial, isn't it? From 1 to 6, I think it is, on the on the heat, and you could also put it on for 1 hour, 3 hours, or 9 hours. But I think what you do, Pad, the bids are related to the heat settings. It's like, okay, I'm putting up to one. $1 bids, please. Okay, thanks so much. Who wants to go to two? Who wants to take the heat up? I think that's cracking. You get this right, £6 bids now. After £6, we know what's happening. It's coming off because the heat's too hot. I've got to get out of the blanket. Yeah.
It didn't take long to go off the share chat.
Back to the share chat. So I don't think we're that far away. We're going to bounce around a little bit. It's going to be a bit volatile. But if you look at the NASDAQ, for example, that's the biggest indices in a bear market. I've got a little graphic in front of me about the last 18 times it went into a bear market. The average drop down is 35%. Like I said, we are at 30%. The average period of time it was in a bear market from peak to trough was 198 days. We now, from peak, it's 169 days. So literally a month or so away, they're saying on average, we don't know if this is average or not, but this is going back. You're talking about drops ranging from 60% to, so what's the shortest one? Around about 30%, no, 29%, and days ranging from 630 days to 33 days. So, you know, on average, we're not far away. And what's going to, I think what's going to happen is we'll see a stabilisation in inflation figures. They won't be going up as fast as they have been. Like, okay, that's good. And then it'll start to rally. Because the markets at the moment, do you know the markets hate the most? We all know this. But the, do you know what the markets hate? Do you know what they absolutely hate the most about anything?
Going up?
Yeah.
She's completely allergic to going up.
Yeah. But yeah. No, they hate, it's the U word. Do you know what it is?
Uncertainty.
Yes, because they can't price it. What the markets do is correct. They try and correct because future earnings for certain companies are going to be impacted by interest, of course, rates and all that stuff, because companies have to pay debts, so that costs them money. They don't know how much interest rates are going up. They don't, of course, and that will depend on inflation. And so at the moment, they're trying to correct and find a level where they're happy with, where they think, okay, this... Because, of course, we've fallen by 30% on NASDAQ. Now,
yeah.
You know, inflation is going to, what, 10%, something like that, and it'll come down, they're saying. So we overshoot to a certain extent, and then it corrects a little bit. So that's what's happening. And
but, I mean, you've been calling the bottom for a few weeks now.
Well, yeah, listen, yes, but this way, Jeremy Statham, is it Jeremy Statham? Yeah, who's a very well-known fund manager. He's called all the massive markets. He's been right this time, but he's been calling the top for 2 years. And he said, I'm not going to be spot on. Now, it's a lot harder to call a top than a bottom because, you know, bull markets go on for a lot longer. They tend to go on an average of 5 years, whereas bear markets, 18 months. So it's a lot harder to call a top than a bottom. But I would say within, you know, I don't know, a couple of months maybe. I'm just going to keep going down for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So we already, the markets yesterday, after a big sell-off in America, had a big bounce, and the FTSE had a big bounce. So we're trying to find a bottom here. So not far off. So I'm just saying, the story here is this. I don't know where you get your money from, but you've got to try and get in that one stock that you think is going to do very well over the next few years. You've got to try and get your
money down. So what's the stock?
Yeah.
Well, that's up to you. I'm not going to give you investment advice here. Yeah.
Okay, but can I, like, I agree, obviously, it's the opportunity. And I don't know, people will have different situations. Some people might have a little nest egg, a little bit of money, a little war chest, like I've spoken about before.
Yeah, but nest eggs and war chests, you can't invest. Yeah. They've got to be cash.
No, okay? Got to be. Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's where you're making a mistake, I think.
No further questions. No. So people might have spare cash, but equally, people might be fully invested or close to fully invested, not have a lot of
spare cash. You've got to find money.
Okay, you've got to find money. But also, some people, like yourself, might only have a portfolio of like, five stocks or whatever, and you're not going to sell out any of those to free up some cash. But what would you say to people that maybe Steve, who has 15, 20 stocks, some a bit dead dogs, some are like blue sky potential, but will they come to fruition? How do you go about repositioning your portfolio? Because this is the time to do it, isn't it? Like you probably try.
Yes.
You don't want to sell in a bear market, but you kind of go, well, but if there's, I don't know, four or five of my stocks that could have really good potential, it's worth ditching another four or five and putting and consolidating those, the ones where you think are going to make the biggest gains, because you, overall the top line figure of the portfolio then grows, you know, massively as we go into a bull market. But it's easier said than done, isn't it? So people are sat there probably with 15 stocks and going, well, how do I pick which ones are going to be the winners?
Do you know what? Is that a good question? Very long from the man in back there, but very good question.
Hold on.
Keep going. Never stop the question. You mentioned that on question time when the guy keeps asking the question and just ended program. We haven't got time for an answer now, sorry. But good question, though. We'll come back next week.
Just to clarify, I'm getting grief from somebody who never stops talking about talking for too long.
I know what you're saying. I would say this. Go back to the old analogy, right? Let's say you want to... looking at your portfolio as, you know, maybe a stable of horses, you know? And you know full well... You know, I'm not stable. Yep. Only one's going to win the Grand National. It has the potential. You know, so I'm not saying getting rid of everything, because there may be a surprise in there who may win the Grand National. But let's be clear, there's not, say, 10 horses that are going to win the Grand National in your stable. You know, there's maybe only two or three. So I would say sell the donkeys to invest in the thoroughbred, and you have to find out.
Would you go back through your filtering system now, like the schedule thing, and kind of do that and reassess the stocks? Is that
I'd also look at always look at the top three growth filters. I look at. I mean, is growth potential? You know, what's are these? And listen, we are investing in small micro cap stocks. Now, if you want multi bag returns, then you have to look at a company that's scalable. is this company scalable? But also look at the size of the company to a certain extent. Because if it's, you know, if you have a company in your portfolio, you think it's amazing, but it's like a, you know, a $1 billion market cap, it's not likely to multi bag, you know, or it'll take a while. But so I wouldn't go, I'm not talking about going too small, because they may have problems scaling. They may have to raise money to scale. But you're looking at a company that can scale over the next 3 to 5 years, is undervalued, but so it's growth. What's the, it's got good growth potential. What's the valuation on it? Is it, you know, undervalued? And I'm talking, because we're talking about early stage companies, there's different ways to value companies, of course. The traditional one is a PE, but a lot of these companies as yet haven't got, you know, earnings after tax. So you look at earlier sort of metrics, evaluation, say a sales multiple. Is it, you know, below 2x sales or 1x sales, one of that? And then look at, you know, what's their margin? Always important, what their margins are going to be. You've got to tell this to, you know, look at peer sectors, because you need good margins, because it's got to be profitable. That top-line growth has to convert into profit sooner or later. And if the margins are very good, or they're going to be very good, then that will happen. So I would just look around, look at the companies that, you know, and yeah, so it's hard to say. It's very subjective. But essentially, you know, if you really want to profit from it, and this is the best, honestly, the best way to make money is at the back of a recession in bear markets. It's the fastest, easiest way. At the moment, the markets, it can't be harder, because we're topped out. We've frothed at the top. We've come off the top of the market. Now we're in a sort of bear market. That's the hardest time. So nothing's worked. No investments have pretty much worked. You've had a couple that's gone up and come back down. But nothing's going to work in this environment, because we are swimming against the tide, you know? But
this is not going to, like, I mean, I don't want to talk ourselves into a recession, and I realise it's not going to be entirely down to me. Yeah. But
like, imagine that, at 10 o'clock news. And Paddy has talked us into a stress recession.
Recessions
on the weekend
start
podcast.
When people start talking about recessions, don't they? I mean, it's almost so, when it is self-fulfilling.
And this week has happened, hasn't it?
So, like, that doesn't feel to me like that's going to be a short-lived thing. Is this not going to just continue for quite a while, just like stagnation?
Again, I'll take the gentleman back to the answer I gave earlier. Don't confuse the real economy with the stock market. Stock markets tend to rally when they've got confirmation of recession.
No, sure, but like some of our stocks are going to be completely linked to consumer sentiment, right?
No,
but you're not. Are you going to spend 30 quid going to an escape room if
yes.
you? Really?
Yeah, because if you're looking back at it, right?
Justin, really?
I talked to Sarah Willingham. Does she ring a bell, that name? She was on Dragon's Den.
Oh, right? Sarah, yeah.
Yeah, well, she's a very smart lady, Sarah. She was on Dragon's Den for a couple of seasons. But she's...
pitching or as a...
She's not any longer on this. She's CEO of Nightcap, which is... I don't know if you've ever heard of
Nightcaps.
Yeah, it's a holding company for... They own bars. So the bars are the London Cocktail Lounge, I think one of them, or London Cocktail Club. The other one is the Barrio... Barrio Familia, and three different things.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, yeah. But she's always been in leisure hospitality. That's a thing. And she, you know, said basically, even recessions, you know, I understand that a lot of people are going to be affected by the cost of living squeeze and all that stuff. But people with disposable income still have their treats. They will still go out once a month, and that's all you need. You don't need people going out every day of the week. But, you know, people will still go out, go to the cinema, go to the pub, you know, do an escape room, family birthdays. There's plenty of, you know, opportunities and events for people to enjoy that will not affect. So it is going to affect, of course, people on a lot lower incomes, but the kind of people being pitched to or attracted by, for example, Boom Battle Bar or escape rooms, tend not to be the lower income bracket. You know, they are the kind of people that have disposable income, and they will go out for, you know, some work stews or birthdays and all that. They'll still do that, you know, so it's not going to be hit. And by the time, you can understand a recession, the definition of recession is 2 quarters of contracted growth. Now, by the time we get that, we'll be like a month or 2 months down the line, and we'll almost be coming out of that, because you've had the growth already. We're probably in, you know, a recession. And the figures will probably stack up. So let's be honest, Barry, I said last week, can you remember yourself walking on the road one day and we're in recession and thinking, oh, I'm not going to have a pint of beer with the lads because we're in recession? Does that ever happen?
Yes, absolutely.
Guys,
absolutely does.
If your mates say to you, Pad, we're going to see Spurs, you come out for a couple of drinks, guys, we're in recession. I'm not coming out.
Yeah, I don't put it in those words in my head, but like at the moment I'm out of work, so yeah, I'm absolutely thinking, can I afford to do that? And the answer quite a lot of time is actually no, I'll probably not do that.
Yeah, but again, your work is not regular, is it? You're going to get this bit of work, so you have to be a bit careful. I'm talking about people who have a regular wage. You know,
remember those people on a regular wage. Like even like if it's a lower wage, like they're being absolutely hammered by the cost of fuel, by the cost of petrol.
Yes, and they'll stop.
This is a recession which is going to hit people harder than the previous ones.
Yes. Listen to this. I completely believe this, and I say, right, ignore the Partygate. I don't want too much into politics here. I don't want the economic side of it, but ignore Partygate and Keir Starmer nonsense. Right, it's nonsense. I know that'll play it a little bit, but I believe the next general election will be won by the party who possess the most effective policies that can bring down the cost of living. This means energy prices coming down because they are the biggest factor. They contribute to everything, everyone, every business, every person. Raising interest rates is not the answer, because that affects all businesses, all people. It's a very blunt instrument. It will stifle growth, it will cause job losses, and make people worse off. So what they need to do is tackle the energy price. They can do that. That'll help. And do you know what? And generally, Pad, the cure for high prices is high prices. Did you saw BBC yesterday news say car fuel sales, are going down. People are cutting back on the number of journeys they're making due to higher pump prices. So that's discretionary.
Good.
If they can do that, and do you know what? People get out on a bike and walk maybe. Because if you've got Asda on the road there, or you can walk there, why not do that? Or take your bike rather than the car? Because a lot of people do jump in the car. So Ascona Group, apparently, which own 60 petrol stations, said the amount of fuel it sold had dropped by 200,000 litres a week compared to pre-pandemic levels. So they're saying people are making that £20 to £30 fuel purchase last a little longer. People don't want to spend lots of money on petrol if they can help it. They don't. But you know what?
Working from home also is impacting that as well.
Yeah. But and also, people don't want to spend money on petrol because it's hardly enhancing their life, is it? So they can cut back on that, they will. But if you go out with a couple of friends for a birthday or works due, they will do it. They prefer, honestly, through past recessions, people have always still gone out for a little treat once a month and all that. That will always still happen. It's not going to slow down. But if you believe that's the case, then, you know, sell those leisure stocks and go into something you think. But you need to understand that stock markets work ahead. If we see stabilisation in inflation prices, the markets will start to rally. And the stocks beaten down the most, pretty much, will rally the most, generally, if they have good potential going forward. So, behavioury, we all cut back a little bit and start thinking about energy, cutting back on this and that. But behaviourally. But you know, we all sort of try and cut back in those areas where we can. But if a friend says, it's my 50th birthday party, or 40th, or 35, 27, doesn't matter about the number, it's a birthday, right. Okay? Right. If they say, do you fancy coming out? No, sorry, we're in recession. That.
Yeah, that's a perfect
excuse. It is actually. Do you know, that's absolutely perfect. I hate socialising. That'd be actually
sorry, Justin. It's a recession.
Yeah,
sorry.
No,
it's a recession.
We haven't done that thing for your 50th, have we?
It's a recession.
Oh, the recession pad. Can't do it.
Yeah. That'd be perfect, wouldn't it? Say, listen, it's Jeff's 60th. And we're booked an escape room. And I don't know if you've seen, but we're in the second quarter of contraction. I don't know if you've seen this. No. Yeah. Yes, no, we're on recession. Right. Yeah. So are you coming? No, definitely not. Give me a call back when we see GDP growth, you know, expand month on month. Yes. And then I'll be
keep
coming.
Keep an eye on that.
Keep an eye on that figure. Okay, I'm sure Jeff can wait for a year, can't he? That'd be perfect.
Please, can everyone stop inviting me to the things until the GDP is positive? Please.
Yeah. Until we show month on month GDP growth, please don't invite me out to any social occasions. Okay, I don't care about football, rugby, any of that. Don't care about it. I'm solely focused on GDP.
Put that out there. Yeah.
I'm solely
inviting me.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, that's what I think. Do you know what I was thinking this week? Learning, right? And I've learned more during this bear market than any other time because I literally got out my spreadsheet that I'm uploading for the Investors Club is phenomenal. It's got all the metrics. It's got everything. I love it. I honestly love
a phenomenal spreadsheet.
I'm learning a lot more now. You learn a lot more in bear markets. You tend to look at the companies you own a lot. You know, you put them under the spotlight more, thinking, hang on, because of course, recessions and bear markets expose, you know, weaknesses in companies. Or like a crypto this week, we've seen the stable coins are making the crypto market unstable because they're basically dodgy. They don't have backing from dollars, $80 billion of, you know, they don't have that. It's like they haven't, like. What's worrying is that Terra Luna, the tether that when when Bang this week was completely collapsed. It was supposed to be a stable coin. That means it's pegged against the dollar. Every time someone invests in it, they're supposed to have that dollar on account there, exactly in the same amount that the market cap is. Now, that was questioned, and the peg didn't peg to the dollar, went below, and all of a sudden, someone started pushing against it, and it went collapsed. And that's happened with George Soros and the Bank of England. When you peg something to a certain currency or dollar or rate, people push against it. Now, Tether, what's scary about this is that that wasn't anywhere near the biggest. I think top 10 that was. But Tether's the third biggest cryptocurrency stablecoin. And I've talked about this many a time. And that's worth $80 billion. And the peg started dropping on that recently. If that goes, the crypto market is going to be a house of cards. And we've already seen it going down because they've been asked.
A lot of people have got their life savings in this.
I know, and it's nuts, isn't it? Because, and you think, why have you got your life savings in there? That's crazy. It's nuts. My
Ukrainian friend just notified me when this Luna thing happened this week, and he's like, invest some money in Luna. It's gone from like whatever $50,000 a coin down to 18 cents or something. So yeah, put some money in. So he stuck 300 quid in. On Wednesday, and by Thursday it was worth £3.
It went from $118 down to 9 cents. Yeah. Did you see KSI? Do you know KSI, the YouTuber and the boxing and all that stuff?
Oh yeah, KSI.
He said, I don't know if it's his thing, but he said he put $3 million into it. And this is the kind of, there's a lot of celebs get involved in this kind of stuff, isn't it? Because they don't know much about it. And that purely is gambling, like your mate there.
Yeah.
Absolute gambling. No idea. It's you know.
It's a bit of an assumption to think it's going to go back up to the level it was at before if it continues, right?
Yeah, but what's the business there? How do you value that? I mean, like I said, you've got to be able to value something, because if you don't know the initial value, how do you know it's going to create value and above where it is? And, you know, what's the potential there? So it's just, that is absolutely out and out odds against gambling, you know? And like KSI, apparently, he said, I put $3 million in, I got 10,000 left. That's what he said. He said, I'm done with this stocks there, or this crypto thing. So that's gonna, in fact, you know what, going back to November when you didn't turn up, Pad, the live weekend in a video we did, I said then it's gonna be house of cards. I said you'll get these collapsing, some of these collapsing, trust will erode in the crypto market, people start pulling their money out. When that starts happening, it exposes all the weaknesses. It's fine in a bull market, everything's going up. No one really looks at it, they're happy because it's all going up. When it's coming down, you feel a lot more people being cynical and you start to learn a bit more. Otherwise you either get out or you learn from your lessons, you know, and mistakes, and that's what they become. Mistakes become lessons, or you give up. And that's it. So I think now it'll become a lot more scrutiny. Crypto market, I think we're on the edge of a collapse here. And it takes a while. Yeah. Like I said, Tether, for months they've been asked by the US SEC in America to provide their accounts and all that, for years actually, and they haven't. And they go, hang on, if you've got $80 billion of dollars and you say you are a transparent company, honest company, just show your accounts. Why are you not showing your accounts? And they say, we're a private company. No, but hang on a sec. But there's lots of speculation for a long time now on Twitter about Tether being a fraud, and you're not showing your accounts. You would just, if you were an honest company, you'd just show your accounts, wouldn't you? So, okay,
I'm going to put this out there. I doubt they've got $80 billion in cash somewhere.
No, they haven't. Apparently, some of it was in and there's rumours of this, they'd put it in they invest in debt in China. So,
yeah.
Property companies, which, of course, we know has gone, you know, arse about face there. So, this honestly, we're on the edge. No, it can't be a fraud because it wouldn't have lasted long. Frauds last forever and a long time before they get discovered. You got listed companies are frauds, and
well,
then that's
a bit
time.
Of a run, and then it very quickly unravels, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'd be very careful. Don't worry about the crypto market.
Bless you.
Anyway, learning. Thanks. So I just think about this, right? Learning, I was telling them, is the most one of the most important skills a human can have, and you're learning these markets. And I was thinking here, we've taken years and years and years as humans learning about stuff, and we've created computers and all that stuff, and we're only now getting to the point where we're teaching computers to learn, and it's called AI. That tells you how complex learning is, but we take it for granted, and it's like a phenomenal skill, isn't it, learning? Isn't it? Phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes.
Paddy's packing now, is he?
He's gone. Sorry, no, I'm just chasing the squirrel off.
Just chasing the squirrel off?
I'm going battle with the squirrels.
What's wrong with the squirrels?
Was he after your nuts?
Yeah, that's obviously. You sit there naked on a podcast, Pad. Yep. That's going to happen, you know? Like, squirrels, clever, they learn. Animals learn, don't they? Computers only just starting to learn AI. It's good. Anyway, okay. See, North Korea has first COVID case. Do you see that? They're the first COVID case in North Korea, Barry.
They've done well, haven't they, to suppress it this long?
And then they haven't got any vaccines. So they haven't got any vaccines. But what they did do is they shot three bombs into Sini, Japan, just to show they're still powerful. Is that insane? We haven't got any vaccines, but we got bombs. It's like, what are they thinking over there? Absolutely nuts, are they? You know? Absolutely crazy. By the way, can I ask you one question? Do you pay any attention? Last night I switched over, I just switched through channels, and the games, the final was on. The games. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
No.
It's the old Channel 4 show that's now on ITV.
Yeah, so it's literally celebs competing, men and women, obviously men, one point, but competing like in weightlifting and, you know, Olympic Games type stuff, you know? And I thought, that's so far off my radar these days. ITV, I mean, they're spending, charging these celebs. I don't even, what platforms do you use? Because I didn't tend now to look at BBC News, CNBC. I don't really look at TV anymore. And I'm not, my kids definitely don't. I'm thinking, is it worth ITV spending money on these celebs? Who's watching it? I'm not watching it at all. Is it on your radar? What platforms of choice, Pete, do you have and Pad? What do you spend most time on? I spend more time on LinkedIn than ITV.
I imagine you're not ITV's target audience, though.
Okay.
So what I think Megan probably might be.
Yeah, no, she doesn't watch that. She's now watching Chicago Fire or something in the house. That's not on the mainstream channel, is it? Netflix or that. So
yeah, my kids, TV audience has gone down 20% year on year for the last 10 years or so, 16 to 34s.
Yeah.
So it is in decline, which is why everyone's trying to splinter out and do their own streaming services, set up more channels, trying to find new ways of generating revenue, like ITV Hub and Channel 4 now will charge you direct rather than playing you adverts, which is a nice thing for some people who are big TV fans.
But it seems like it's so old-fashioned now, that kind of get celebs on to do some stuff.
Yeah.
We all look like ITV, I'm a celebrity.
Still love that, don't they?
Do they still like that nonsense? Yeah. Really? I mean,
It's not going to be like front page news anymore, but it will get you your 2-3 million viewers, and that's all you need.
Like they had Paddy McGuinness's missus against an ITV news broadcaster lifting weights yesterday. And like, so, this is so boring. And they're like, yes, they're lifting 50 kilos. Like, what? Like, this is so boring. Are you watching, to watch celeb stuff, like Agatha Christie? That's all over the place, isn't it? Colleen and Vardy. Are you into this? Are you watching it?
No. It won't surprise you to learn I couldn't give a monkey's.
Megan's all over that. She's loving it. There are some funny things in there, though. Do you see Rebecca Vardy said on the stand this week, said, well, if I'm honest, and that's what she said, she started the sentence with, if I'm honest, she started with, and Colleen...
under oath.
Yeah, and Colleen Rooney's lawyer said, well, I would hope you are being honest, given you are sitting in the witness box in High Court.
Yeah.
And then apparently she said, Colleen Rooney's lawyer refers to previous comments from Rebecca Vardy. Rebecca Vardy said, arguing with Colleen is like arguing with a pigeon. You can tell it that you are right and that it is wrong, but it's still going to shit in your hair.
Wow.
And then people laughed at her, talking about Davies. Did you know her PR person, who apparently had all the leaked stories on her phone, that is now at the bottom of the North Sea, has been thrown in the sea? That's dodgy, isn't it? So she admitted before joking about selling PR stories, Rebecca Vardy, apparently, and now a PR girl, who was in cahoots with her, apparently, her phone is in the sea. They can't get it. The evidence is on that.
Okay.
Yeah. And they said, and they said it's in Davy Jones's chest, isn't it? And it's an old pirate's thing, isn't it? Davy Jones's chest, but at the bottom of the sea, apparently. And she went, Davy Jones, I don't know who that man is, sorry. And they all sort of laughed in the court because she didn't understand who that was. I thought it was a bit cruel.
He was in the Monkees, wasn't he?
Yeah, Davy Jones, yeah. And apparently referred to in the Pirates of the Caribbean as well. Anyway, so we just mentioned one stop before TV recommendation, because we're coming up to 1 minute left now, because Paddy's, time to... I just want to talk about Trufinity. It's very frustrating. Share prices taking a hit. Most gamers and esports companies have taken a massive hit. And at the moment, it's only valued on one part of the business, you know, the core business, GDM, which is the digital media side, which is going to be the main part of the business anyway. And of course, it's still early on. But and people said, oh, why do you sell? Because the share price has gone down. It makes the company more, unless the company is going, you know, is not performing, share price is going down. Just watching share prices is not worth it unless you look at valuation. So if you look at the interims for Gfinity, GDM's revenue on its own was 1.6 million. That's up 62% from the previous year. They've only just launched it 2 years ago. So if you double that, for example, and it should do a lot better than double because they only acquired Stock Informa, which is a profitable company, and CGG in September. They only acquired that then. So that's only 4 months worth of numbers there. That's 3.2 million if you double that. So that's, and they've got cash as well. Now they've valued it to about 11 million sort of EV. So it's literally three or four times, GDM. That's nuts, that is. When peers are on like five times and they're not even valuing any other parts of the business, like the tech IaaS platform. So GDM at the moment, or Gfinity, is quite cheap, I think. And, and that's why I think you don't sell at the bottom. And someone said, why didn't you, share price going down, why didn't you sell? I said, it's like someone saying to me, offering me, having five people bid for my house and me taking the worst offer. It's pointless. Yeah. It's silly doing that. You might as well, we're in a bear market. Don't sell at the bottom. That's how you guarantee to lose money. Sell at the top, yeah? Everyone's yeah. bullish. And like, that bull bear thing, you see that bull bear fear and greed index? It's now at six. That's single digits. Last time it was down in single digits, Dash for Crash, and it was down at three, I think, in December. So we very rarely get to extreme fear. That's a contrarian indicator. If you only ever bought when that was in single digits, you'd do very well on your investments. We're now in single digits on the sentiment index. That's very good. Everyone's very bearish. That means if you only ever bought, people buy when that's in single digits, do very well. People understand that. Buy fear, sell greed. Yeah, that's all it's about.
What's the ticker?
Any TV recommendations? Because we cut it short. Because Paddy.
We watched The Usual Suspects last night. That was quite good.
The film?
Yeah, that's been around
for a while. Fred's calling me. What's he want?
He wants access to some app or something.
Fred, yes, I'm on the podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, give him some data. All right, we'll do. Give me a few minutes. Bye bye. He's going out with his friends. He's mad. So he's going, I'm going out with my friends. I said, what time? 8:30. You're going out with your friends at 8:30.
Good lad.
Just going to hang in the park and stuff and ride their bikes around.
Like, oh, mate, that's legendary.
And it's all that's day. Good. They've got all day for that, haven't they?
Yeah.
What do you want them to do? Stay in and play on your computer.
No, but he's got in office hours.
Right.
Usual Suspects is a cracking film. I watched that loads of times. Yeah. I loved that when it first came out. It was excellent. One of the things, if you rewind and watch it again, he was looking at that and that and that. There's fucking good there. Yeah. Of course, he's now not Flavour of the Month, is he? For a while, I had my profile picture on LinkedIn with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah, you and him got quite close, didn't he? He really fancied Steve, didn't he?
Yeah, we
remember that night.
Yeah, he was
into Steve.
Yeah, awards thing, and he quite liked Steve, yeah. But, I took that down and removed it after he was accused for sexual harassment.
That's right.
I don't know what I'm watching. Nothing really on TV.
Natalie thought they'd ripped the ending off from Scary Movie. And I was like, no, I think Scary Movie was the rip-off. But,
Anything, Pete? Watch anything? Look at anything?
I got a highbrow recommendation. Imagine on the BBC, be on iPlayer.
John Lennon.
An episode on Jacob Collier, if you know him. It's one for the musos amongst
Jacob
you.
Jacob Collier, yes. No, who the hell is that?
Saxophone player, isn't he?
He's a musician, but he's a young guy, and he just started posting stuff on YouTube, and it got picked up by like Quincy Jones and Herbie Hancock. And watch it. There's half of it I do not understand because I don't understand music, but it's amazing what he's achieved and like his following and all the rest of it and how he's kind of...
What platform is this on, ITV?
iPlayer on the BBC.
Yeah, cool. I'm still listening to quite a few Stephen Bartlett podcasts. They're really worthwhile because he does get some good guests in.
Yeah.
There's a guy there talking about behavioural science. What's his name? Marcus Buckingham or something like that. It's very clever, some of the stuff he says. But apart from that, I'm not really watching anything on TV. BBC News and CNBC. Yeah. That's my stuff, you said something then. When you said what's in Collier, I was thinking of Norman Collier. Do you remember Norman Collier? From the 70s.
No. Yeah, no, not him.
His basically, he was a comedian, and he was on Tiz Was, and his strengths were, he could do a chicken, right? That was his... really good chicken. He could do a really good chicken. It was really impressive. I know it didn't sound very good. And then also, he could do a microphone not working. That was very good. He used to go, he'd hold a mic, and he'd talk to him, and he'd do an interview, and he goes, yes, and so I went... People, well, this is wrong on the microphone, I think. And it's hilarious. And a friend said to me later on in life, how does he pay his mortgage with those skills? You go to the bank manager for a mortgage.
Do the invoices.
Yeah, go to the bank manager for invoice. What do you do? Well, I do this. And I do this. Norman Collier, check him out. I'm gonna watch some more footage of him now. That's my recommendation. Check out Norman Collier.
Okay, excellent. There you go.
His defective microphone, comedic skit. It's very good. All right, lads. Thanks for that. It's all done and dusted.
Perfect. Yeah.
A bit short, isn't it? Great.
No, I like it.
It's good. Bite size.
Okay. Yeah. Bye, boys.
See you later. Take care. Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.